What I see, certainly from a business perspective, there is a lot of products coming up based on getting people together for certain activities. And basically what we happen to do is to create the first one vertical on arts and culture.
Was mit Kunst? Ein Podcast von und mit Johann König.
Today's guest is Pasquale Marino from May, which is Social Club for the Arts.
Yes, it's a social club that personalized, because we use AI on a digital level to personalize the experience, but it's everything happens in real life through curated art experiences.
But maybe before we get into the product, tell us, you're from Italy.
Yes.
Living in Berlin.
Yes.
And how did you come into arts? Because is it an app or a club?
App.
Okay. So global app.
Yes. But right now we are operating in Berlin only.
Yeah.
And we are launching Italy by the end of the year.
Okay. But it's for art or art and culture or only art?
It's mostly visual art.
Okay.
So it's a lot of visual artists, painters, galleries, cultural organizations, but we also curate experiences with poetry, with theater, with sound. So we cover a lot of disciplines, not only art.
Okay. And how did you personally get into art?
It's basically like a short story, because I have no background in art, but when I moved to Berlin, I was working in fintech.
Mm-hmm.
So I was working in some digital banks, and then I became friend with a painter, and I realized how inspiring was to learn about art through studio visits, to connecting with the artists behind the works. It was the first kind of engagement that I had with a painting or something like that. So that kind of got me into it and gave me a sort of, I would say, life-changing experience, but I didn't think about it like that at the time. But it was like that, because I was, that's amazing. It was really food for thoughts. And And so I kind of, since I was...
Because you're an economist from education.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yes. Yeah. And I was at the time specializing in digital media business, so digital product.
Mm-hmm.
So I instantly got the spark to build product that could allow anyone to get to engage with art.
Okay, so very much about the entry, how to get into the art world.
Exactly, yes.
In touch with artists, exhibitions, galleries, and so on.
Yes.
Okay. So how does it work? You download the app, MAE?
Yeah, MAE. Yeah.
Okay. And then?
And then you find program of events. So a lot of it's intimate experiences for 20, 30, 40 people, but we do also bigger experiences. So it's studio visits, private tours, private performances, and a lot of creative formats. And they are all designed to facilitate connection between the people and the host of the experience, which is the artist, the curator, the gallerist, or whoever it is, and create conversation. So each experience has the name, is kind of titled like an exhibition. So it has a topic.
Okay.
Let's say the artist is working on a series about love. So the studio visit is called Research for Love. And so people go there, and usually there is a symposium where people discuss about this topic. So the topic is kind of like the connection for people to engage with the works, because maybe people don't know about paintings, don't know about art history, but they certainly know about all the topics around it. And that's kind of the medium that kind of people intuit and discuss about life topics, intellectual themes, and so forth, and, you know, create connections with others through these conversations, and it becomes something engaging.
Okay, I see. So, and what's the business model? People pay for the participation,
yes,
and you get a commission?
Yes.
And or do also, like we as a gallery, for example, would pay that you bring people?
No, people pay a subscription to get to a certain amount of events, and then they can also buy tickets for single events. And provide between 70 and 90% to the host of the experience, and we take as a commission on the ticket sales. But the galleries or the host do not pay anything to host this. The opposite, they might earn something to host these experiences.
Okay. And give us some examples, like since when is the platform existing?
Yeah, we launched last year.
Okay.
And but we started to focus on the artistic program and the curated experience in early January. So it's 6 months that we're pushing a lot of program, and we have 4 or 5 experiences per week. On the top of that, of course, we have also a digital experience where people can share thoughts and emotions powered by the events on the app, which is a sort of social network in this sense. We have chat group where the attendees of the experience can connect and stay connected. We use also AI where we create, when we match micro groups of 5-7 people that at a cultural venues for a meetup. So we have also a digital side of the product. But the digital side serves only to facilitate real life connections. The first kind of assumption was that at the end, the real life experience of artists are replaceable. So what we do is essentially make everything to shorten as much as possible the time that people download the app and then get outside to meet some people at an art experience.
But it's not a subscription, the users pay per event.
Yes, yeah. With the subscription, you get kind of a bucket of events that you can attend per month. So you have a kind of a
credit.
Yeah, credits that you can spend on all the experiences on the app. But you can use the app for free and then just buy a ticket whenever you feel like.
Okay, and you can buy within the app?
Yes.
Okay, so it's professional?
Yes.
Yeah. How do you get the critical amount of people on the platform, members on the platform, because you need to make extensive marketing, no?
Yeah, well, we at the beginning, we did a lot of content marketing on Instagram and socials, TikTok as well. So we got a huge, relatively huge following. I mean, for the vertical of art and creativity, it's relatively big what we created.
What does it mean?
Yeah, we had like over 80,000 followers.
Wow, in such
socials.
A short time.
Yes. And then once we got this kind of visibility around the concept that we were creating, we didn't have an app. So people were just following kind of an idea that we had to kind of have art, not from a, you know, just art as a, oh, wow, culture, but as a meaning for people to connect with others, to maybe like have inspiration in life and from like having art from an experiential point of view, as opposed to kind of ownership. That created us kind of a first hype, let's say. Yeah. And then when we launched the app, we had already like thousands of users using it. But at the beginning, we didn't know yet how to monetize this user base. And we figured it out along the way.
Okay, so it started on the social media by sort of announcing for meet and greet here and there. And then it started an audience and then that turned into an app.
Yes.
Okay, I see. Interesting. It's a bit like Avant Arte too.
Yeah.
I mean, different because they're selling, but you don't sell. It's not about selling the artworks
from the studio,
from the gallery. No.
No.
All about experiences.
Yes. Okay. Sometimes people happen to buy art when they go to a studio, but that's nothing is related with us. And also the target that we talk to is mostly people that seek experiences, seek to meet other people. So it's kind of the first step into the art scene, let's say.
Yeah.
So they're not seeking to buy in the first place.
Yeah, and it's growing.
Yes,
it's interesting.
Yes, I think we doubled like since we launched. We are now like almost 12,000 users, and we doubled since in the last 6 months.
In Berlin?
Yeah, only in Berlin.
Okay.
Only in Berlin.
Yeah, it's interesting because you were recommended from Laura, from the marketing team here, that we invite you to the podcast. And I feel very old because I feel like sort of disconnected to this. But what I'm thinking since a decade already is that I have the feeling that also the art market is more driving towards experiences than accumulation. So what I can see with a lot of sort of collectors or second generation collectors, you know, that because we deal with families which are in the second, third generation collecting, that the, you know, the Wirtz or Buddha or, you know, these big entrepreneurs who collected, I don't know, they have 100 works only by one artist, you know, and collections of thousands of artworks, that this accumulation, and I guess also it comes from a time where the market was less visible and less sort of dominant, but also side costs were lower, you know, storage, maintenance, and so on. And I have the feeling the younger generation, they are less into, even we have some clients who, I don't know, sold 1, 2, 3 companies already, or are heirs to big wealth. They're not so driven by ownership. So they're more into, for example, supporting the artist, that when they buy more from the motivation also to join the what you would say, the excursion or the journey of the artist, to support them, you know, to, you did not really analyze the market. You just did it out of own interest.
Yes, I did it by own interest, but it was, as I mentioned, like it was in two steps. I had this mission to understand how to make more accessible, if you want, the art scene. So we started by the first venture, which was leasing art. So the first intuition was, if we kind of make the art more accessible from a monetary perspective, people would buy it, and maybe like people could rotate their collection, like based also on what you said, that there are people that do not really care about owning everything, but they just want the experience. But then throughout that experience, we realized that people were just prone and willing to meet other people or experiencing art and meeting the artists. That was the real value that we saw, at least from the people that we were attracting. And so that's where when we shift on creating a product that was more focused on the experience. But I think from a generational point of view, what you say is true. All the people that I know that buy art of my age and my generation do it maybe because they become friends of an artist, maybe they like some of the people. I think less people buy, I mean, at least from what I see, from the gallerist or from the kind of like the, or the fairs or all these kind of people like more to build kind of a relation with the artist and have the kind of say, oh, I'm supporting them and stuff like that.
Yeah, I think also they buy to live with the art. And I think it's a unique experience to live with original art. I would say that you only can feel that once you do it, but once the apartment or house is full, often people say that collecting starts when you need a storage or something like this. Yeah. But I think nowadays, because of these real collections I was referring to, you know, which also sort of our business lives on, we have some clients that have more art they will ever be able to see in their life. And that I think is fading out a bit because everybody's more cautious and vogue. And I guess also in terms of the equity spend. So you started the same team. You were how many founders?
Three.
And so when you did the art lending, you bought the works to lend it out?
No. We just worked with galleries and artists, and then we just exhibited them on a platform. And then when people wanted to get them, we kind of like had a commission model where we transferred the monthly payment to the artist or the galleries.
Quite complex from logistics and insurance, no?
Yeah. But at the time, it was just after Corona, and I think it was a thing at the time because there were a few companies of this kind coming up in such a short time. There was Parlor in New York. There was Gertrude in London. So there was kind of a wave because it was just in the middle of Corona and everybody were thinking, oh, how we can make art experienced in a different way. So people kind of came up. I mean, I came up just by myself, and then I realized that there were different ventures worldwide that were doing at the same time, launched the same model, but at the end didn't work.
But combined with fractional ownership?
No.
Okay. But back to the experiences, how does it work? Do you curate these experiences, or can artists apply or galleries apply?
No, we scout and we talk with the artists or the galleries or the organizations that we think match with the program. And then we kind of provide them some guidelines of what we usually do. And they usually come up with some nice concept formats. We usually push them to do anything experimental that they can do. The weirder, so the more experimental is the experience, the happier we are. And for example, when we did the private tour here at Konish, Julia, your team brought the people in a tour in the hidden spot of your gallery.
Oh, where was that?
It was maybe like less than a month
ago. No, where was the hidden spot?
At the garden, all these spots that are not
open to the public. You went to the bell tower also?
Yes, I think. I wasn't there because I was in Switzerland in those days. But
So it's always a bit unusual.
Yes, yeah. And also like during that experience, Julia, together with all the group, and also they talk about how to their path into the art world. So there was a symposium about it. So everybody like shared their experience. So like as I mentioned, every experience have this format of having some special thing, mm-hmm. and then there is always a part where there is a discussion, a connection, a discussion or a part of the experience where people can kind of connect with each other.
Okay, so sort of Web3 vibe. You know, this like Web1 was you only have a poster website. Web2 is you can sort of comment, and Web3 is this idea of exchange.
Yeah, I like this. Web3 in real life.
So it's interesting. It's not only you get a tour and then you're a group of 20 people and there's a guide and you get lots of information and after it's over, you can go home. Here it's about exchanging.
Exactly.
And then when art tour mix group therapy.
Exactly. Group therapy or if you want, like discussion, whatever. Yeah, and then like through the app, you can connect with these people, you can stay in touch, you have all the social side.
Okay, and so
you
can meet. Have a profile as
exactly.
well.
Exactly. So they can meet again and go on other experiences together. So the dynamics that we see, and you have kind of community dynamics where like you have groups of people, friends, and all these kind of things. And
You choose, right? Like you say
the program.
Yeah, let's go to, I don't know what else. Give us some other examples. Studio visits with artists as well.
So that's the one of the things that I'm most excited about. We didn't do in purpose. We did it just spontaneously. That we either do maybe tours and experiences in let's say institutional cultural spaces.
Yeah.
For example, we did the same in Fotografiska or in other galleries. And then we also do some more underground experiences, let's say in studio visits at artist studios that sometimes they work maybe in their bedrooms or maybe like at their own place. So they're very, very super underground experiences. And what I realized that as well, maybe like emerging art collectives or maybe like small places that do poetry reading and this kind of thing. So what I see is that we kind of mix two deep parallel cultural scenes, the institutional and the underground, which is all this movement. I wouldn't say movement, but it's all about all these emerging collectives, organization, creatives, that there's so much creativity in there. Maybe that from if you see it from an art perspective, maybe the most of it you would argue that there's no art relevancy in it, but they are much cooler for the big public of people sometimes than maybe like going to institutional museums or things like that. So what we do is that we mix these worlds, and we make it in a way that people can enjoy in the same way going on a private tour in, let's say, a museum or a Konish gallery, and as well going maybe like in an underground concert in a collective and experience the two things and enjoy in the same way because maybe they learned something there and they learned
but they don't have to apply, right?
The people?
Everybody can join.
Everybody can join.
Okay.
And we only curate the program of experiences.
And then it's always someone from May there?
No.
Okay, so it's just the platform?
Yes, yeah. And it's the host. The host of the experience might be the artist who is hosting
or the gallery, maybe the gallerist, or director, or someone. Okay. And how can you compete with Get Your Guide or Airbnb? Because they sell experiences too, right?
Yes, and the USP is basically the community side. So
okay. Because you exchange.
Exactly. Yeah. Like the whole product is made in a way that people can connect digitally and then in real life and then stay in touch digitally and then meet again. And
But you don't put it on it's not a dating app and it's not a business network app. It's like you don't direct it in any, it's completely open what the people do with their connections.
Exactly. Yeah. It's a baby. We facilitate connection through art, essentially, in real life. So it's not the experience itself. Of course, there is an intrinsic value of the experiences that we create, as well as maybe, like you mentioned, Get Your Guide or whatever experience marketplace there is out there. But of course, the experiences that we curate are unique in a way. But we have a strong element of community. So the purpose of all this is kind of creating, in the first place, real life connections and cultural experiences, but then sense of belonging at the end of the day. So like having the idea of belong to the art scene or creative scene, which is something very, I feel it's very what makes the art scene peculiar compared to other scenes, but maybe like it happens in every vertical. Let's think about
you mean how to get into it, you mean?
Yeah, exactly. Like this idea of belonging to the art world or all these things that from one side it made like the art world very, like, if you want, attractive, exclusive, if you want, but then on the other end made it feel very inaccessible from the perspective of, let's say, the big public. I'm talking the long tail of art lovers or maybe like people who are interested in arts and culture. That kind of what we realized throughout our journey is that one of the core problems for people to engage with art was that there's this element that probably there's a word overuse of being intimidated by galleries, being intimidated by the art scene, not knowing people in the art world, so having no way to really access with it. So we kind of like solved this, if you want.
Okay. From a business. And for example, the visit here to the gallery, you know how many people came?
I think it was 40, 50 people.
So many people?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And then they all gather together afterwards.
Yes.
And, okay. And how much is it?
I mean, I think this one was not on sale. Like there wasn't the.
Oh, it's free then.
No. Only if you had the subscription of Ma, you could.
Only
access.
The Ma exactly. Members have access.
Exactly.
Okay, and then it's sort of complimentary, including in their.
Yes.
Subscription. Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
I mean, this was like, of course, there are some specific, because usually we also sell tickets separately from the subscription. But in this case, sometimes the host doesn't want any revenue from these experiences. So we didn't. Exactly.
We won, but I wasn't asked.
You weren't asked. So like.
You know, but I see. But this is you. I guess you have also recurring events, right?
Yes.
This was a one-time.
Yes.
Ah, okay. So you have different memberships. Or is it only member or not member? Or you have all?
No, we have basically the app is for free, so you have everybody like our members. But if you purchase the subscription, you can access maybe exclusive experience like this one. You have there are some maybe like some partners that provide us with free tickets for certain experiences.
Okay, and how? What's the price range?
It's $18.99.
Oh, okay. There's a fixed price.
Yes.
Okay. And that includes entrance and so on, if there's entrance fee. Okay. And then it's not just the regular tour. It's also before, afterwards is a meet and greet with the other members.
Yes, exactly.
It's really
like based on the host. So okay. The host decides, because of course, like, we are not like, we let the people who manage the experience, so the artists or the galleries or whoever manage the experience as they want, we kind of provide them a guidance or how we see it works, this kind of experience, and they decide what to do.
Okay, but you say that it's important that there's some sort of a connectivity element in it.
Yes,
okay.
But then at the end of the day, like, that's something that's valuable also for the host, because the more people engage with the experience, the more the host is happy at the end. So yeah. If it's an artist studio visit, for the artist, having people sharing their perception about the works, it's something that, at least from an emotional point of view, as it's nice at the end. Yeah. Like, so, and let's say we guide them to get to that point.
And what type of clientele is there, members of you? Is it like,
like millennials, Gen Z, let's say between 18 and 55, that's maybe like mostly like international crowd.
Okay,
but
expats,
yeah, but there is also a lot of like locals, people from Berlin that grew up in Berlin that maybe like are working completely different.
But tech heavy? Is it tech heavy? Like people working in tech?
A lot of tech people, a lot of like IT, a lot of designers, a lot of like people that work in constructions that maybe like are passionate about movies or passionate about anything creative, but they had another job and they had no connection with the art scene or the creative scene because they don't have friends in the scene. So kind of my gets into the one's life and
okay, but not like Soho House where you have to apply or where you have recommended.
Exactly.
There's no hurdles or no. How would you say, like a border to come over?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. It's super
not
accessible.
Okay.
No.
Yeah. Okay.
And exactly like Soho House is one of the kind of comparison that I use sometimes. What I say is Maya is a sort of Soho House with Meetup. Meetup is an online platform, very, very popular back in the days that allow people to organize themselves for activities. And we kind of mix like the curation and the art and the culture from Soho House with the accessibility of Meetup and the digital.
But with a purpose focused on art.
Exactly.
Or
yeah.
do you run separate verticals?
No. We focus on art, but everything like around it, we do it as well. Like, as I mentioned, poetry, movie screening, anything around as well.
Art, yeah. But you don't have a parallel app for hiking?
No.
Because that exists. No, what's it called? Which was acquired by...
WeRoad.
By Spoon, what's the name?
I think there's one WeRoad and then Benny Spoon purchased Meetup recently. But anyway, like there's...
So from Potsdam, you know, it's like you can make maps where you hike, whatever, I forgot. But here the very important element is a social
side,
right? You have an account. You post things as well?
You can post things, you have your profile, you have all the events that you attended, you have the private chat. When you join an event, you have the group chat with the other attendees.
Okay, and who built all this?
We did
and
it.
And that's venture capital funded or?
Yeah, we joined an accelerator, which is venture backed, that provided us with some initial investment to start.
Okay, and the business model is commission on experiences.
Exactly, and subscriptions.
Okay, and how is that doing?
Yeah, it's growing. Like, it grows every month, and that's how now...
What's a subscription?
How much is it? $18.99.
Oh, it's $18.99 per month?
Yes.
Plus $18.99 for one event?
No, the events usually, it depends by the event. It's 10 to 20 euro, 30 euro. Like, it depends by the event, but it's, let's say the majority is between 10 and 20 euro per ticket. No. If you have the subscription, you don't buy the tickets.
Oh, it's all included?
Yes. Not so much. It's based on credits. So you have 5 credits that you can use per month.
Okay. And some events is 1 credit. Events are 3 credits.
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly.
See. And then some you have also complimentary.
Exactly. And then we have also badges on the app. So the longer you are subscribed, the higher is your badge. And you have, at the end, you have the gold badge that you can access more exclusive experiences. Uh-huh. So these kind of things. But of course, every experience, if you don't have the subscription, you can buy the ticket. Need the subscription.
Okay, this is how you get new customers, I get, no?
Exactly. So when you enter the app, you can just use it for free. And when you find an event, you can just buy the ticket and don't subscribe. Uh-huh. And then if you want to go regularly to events, then at the end, it's much more convenient to get the subscription.
Okay, I see. So it's also a tool against loneliness.
It's mostly that. And in fact, like there is a trend right now, I think. You know, it's a little bit a very complicated discussion, but what I see certainly from a business perspective, there is a lot of products coming up based on getting people together for certain activities. So you mentioned like hiking, for example. There is WeRoad, it's very popular for travels. You have kind of this social marketplace where you may be alone to travel and they find you a group to travel with.
Yeah.
And you have this in a lot of verticals, and basically, what we happen to do is to create the first one vertical on arts and culture.
Yeah.
And the coolest thing of this vertical is that from my perspective, like arts and culture is something mainstream. That it's kind of like some people might say that it's it's niche because you have the art world or the art scene. It's a group of people that find themselves by going to exhibition and so forth. But at the end, everybody loves movie. Everybody loves to learn stuff around certain topics and go. When you travel, at the end, even if you don't have anything to do with art, you probably go to a museum and maybe you go to Madrid and you go to Del Prado or whatever, and you go to New York, even if you don't have anything to do with art.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
At the end, what we do, what we are building is a global community, because now we're starting from Berlin. We're going to Italy.
Where in Italy? In Milan.
Okay. But then we will launch a different city.
Because Rome, you need big cities, no?
Yeah, exactly.
Because there needs to be enough activity.
Exactly. Yeah. You need cities where there are galleries, where there are artists and so forth. And then at the end, people with the subscription can maybe travel to Milan, to Paris, to London, and have kind of access to these kind of experiences, which is much more valuable of going maybe by yourself to the National Gallery in London or whatever.
How active are people using this social connecting aspect? Is it for some just only to have like an agenda on what to do in their free time and get to know people in the city? Like how active do your members use these functions?
Of course, there is different use cases. We have a core part of user, which is around 10%, that really Mae is a big part of their life.
Yeah.
Some people came to me, and also I was astonished when I heard about what people said during the experience that we had here at Konish, how art and through Mae people got into art, kind of changed their perspective about life, and how impactful was the product into their life. So there is a core user base that really use it on a weekly basis.
And share the experiences on the social
exactly
tools. Okay.
Exactly. And and then of course you have also other type of use cases that people less engaged, that maybe go to events once in a while.
They use it like a calendar for event calendar.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
With this more special access or more unusual content.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. For example, another feature that we have, you can also share your own events. So, for example, if you are an artist or maybe an art professional, you can use Mae to share your events and invite people through
your,
the app.
Your member mates. So to speak.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yes. And that's also we find it valuable, because what we see Of course, the core need, as you mentioned, Johan, and this is very like super relevant, especially in this post-pandemic time, the loneliness, this friendship crisis and so forth. And I don't know like how long will it be like this. Maybe it's just something post-corona, maybe it's not, but let's see. But on the other end, with our success case, it's really getting people into the creative side of their personality through connections. Because when I first started talking about with artists or gallerists or whoever involved in art, it was always a story about meeting someone or having someone in their circle that get them engaged into the arts. So we have their boyfriend, their friend, their uncle, their father, or got in.
You need some sort of a gateway, yeah?
Exactly. So like what we do, we facilitate this engagement with art and culture through connection, through meeting people. And the success case at the end, of course, is meeting people, of course, is fighting loneliness. But it's kind of something more. It's kind of unlock your creativity or your creative power, because maybe you meet an artist and then you say, oh, if he can do it, I can also do it. And maybe they get back to their creative craft. So what we do on the product is kind of like accompanying the user on their journey through, let's say, creativity. So like maybe at the beginning they are like they don't know anyone, and so they have the feature of the matchmaking system that kind of they're based on AI, they and on their data they are matched with people that might be like-minded, and they go in an intimate gathering in a cultural venues, and that's kind of the first getaway. And then after, maybe like they feel confident, they go to events, and maybe at some point they feed their creativity, and maybe they organize an event, or maybe they create an artwork so they can share it on the app.
But that all based on the common ground interest in art.
And creativity.
Interesting. And the business model is only the shares, only the commission?
No, it's mostly the subscriptions.
Okay.
The commission.
But you're not planning on having a coffee fart sales trip, because, I mean, you know your audience. But that's not the plan to... for example, I don't know, that could be interesting also for the luxury market, because usually people who are into art, they also have an income, which is interesting for luxury brands or car sellers or real estate agents or many other.
Yeah, right now we did, for example, a few branded experience with a yoga clothing brand, very famous worldwide, Lululemon.
Yeah.
And we're doing trips this summer, kind of like 4 or 5 days experiences. In Sicily.
Okay.
So always, to provide more like premium, let's say, experiences.
Yeah.
And then, of course, there is this element, what I've seen like now, I'm working in the space since 2019, and I'm a lot involved also in the startup community. And what I've seen worldwide, there is this kind of like unification, if you want, or whatever, like brands, corporate brands and art are getting close.
Yeah.
So like in the idea of how to monetize art outside the ownership and the art sales, of course there is the experience, but I see there is a lot also like these brands that kind of seek artists for maybe designs or stuff like that. And it's a space that I don't know much about it. I think it's emerging. Last year I was in Vivatech, and there were a lot of like handful startups doing it in Paris, and I think it's something that I'm definitely gonna explore. But I don't know how,
where it will go. Interesting. Great, thank you so much taking us on the journey. I'll check it out. And let's see what else we can do here.
Yes.
Studio visit, another architecture. Architecture is part of it too?
We never do it, but why not?
Like an architecture tour here?
Yeah, why not?
The history of the building or so?
Yeah, why not?
Cool. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Johan.
Looking forward to see where it evolves.
Yeah, thank you very much, Johan. It was a pleasure.
Was mit Kunst? Ein Podcast von und mit Johann König.